Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coaching Coordinator Podcast. Today we're going to focus on getting your receivers a plan to work on their own. Summer is a big time to be able to get out and get work on the passing game. And I think we usually think about that as the quarterback. He goes out, he does his work, he gets some receivers together, and he throws with them. Well, there's a lot of things that the receivers can be doing on their own, either with a quarterback or before they get together with a quarterback, to make themselves better. And that's really in all phases, whether that be route running or catching the ball, even in some of the blocking. And joining us on the podcast, again, is the creator of The Sideline Hustle, former college coach, Drew Lieberman. Drew, it's always great to have you here.
No doubt, man. Thanks for having me on. It's great to be on.
Well, Drew, this is a time, as I said, that there's, you know, for those guys, they could get out in the summer, they can work on things. You know, when I think of the work on your own part, you know, I'm thinking of my son right now. He's finishing up his baseball season, but all, you know, he's going to have 3 weeks to prep for his summer season. And you know, he does a lot of work on his own. He's doing his tee work. He's doing, you know, some soft toss, all those things as a hitter to get ready and hone those skills. And we see that all the time, that we relate that to the quarterback, that the quarterback's got to go out and hone his skills. And I think maybe we take for granted there's a lot of things the receivers can do other than go out and work 7-on-7 with their QB or catch balls for him that can help make them better. So we want to focus on some of those things today. But before we do that, I want to hit on an article you just released with us, and I'll share the link in our show notes, on developing the wide receiver culture. So talk to us a little bit about your thoughts on that position group and how you build a cohesive position group or unit within your receivers.
Yeah, so receivers are so interesting to me, right? Because they have the least amount of control over the game of any position on the field, in my opinion. Because like, if you think about it, for them to get the ball, have the ball in their hands and make it a direct impact or make a key block that is a direct, like, first level block, like, so many things need to happen. To get the ball, you know, you need the offensive line to block for you. You need the quarterback to deliver the ball on time and accurately. You need the coach to even call the right play at the right time. There's just so many factors that have to go right for you to even have the ball in your hands, that I think because of that, you have to build a little bit of a different culture as a coach. Because there's not all this like immediate gratification and necessarily a reward for your work that comes all the time. A lot of times you're running great routes, you're getting open, you're busting your butt in the run game, but there's really nothing to show for it because, you know, for a number of reasons, the ball's going somewhere else, or we're running the ball a lot, or the quarterback's getting sacked, like whatever that is. So I found that you know, you got to create a culture that it has a system in place that is constantly rewarding these kids for a lot of those things. And like for us for the receivers I've coached, you know, the number one thing that we pride ourselves on is toughness. That's something you can grade every single play and every day, really. Like, we define toughness as, you know, as showing up every single day with a great attitude and great effort, right? That's something you can control. Like, whether I'm getting the ball today, whether it's an inside run period, whether, no matter what it is, like, I can control my attitude and effort on this play. And I think that there has to be consequences when guys don't reach that standard. And that needs to be celebrated when they do meet that standard. And by meeting that standard, they're going to elevate the entire position group. When the receivers are the guys who are the toughest guys in the field, and they're not complaining, they're not throwing their hands in the air, they're not, you know, being selfish as all of these, you know, kind of diva receivers are perceived. When you've got that position group that's committed to winning and committed to the team, I think that really is infectious for the whole program. So to me, the first thing is toughness. And in the way you kind of prove your toughness to the team is the way you finish, right? Like you can show up every day with a great attitude and great effort, but like, your teammates don't know that until they see that you're the last man blocking on every play, until they see that you're running your route full speed. And even when you're not getting the ball, you're jogging back to the huddle with high energy and expecting the ball the next play. Like, all those kind of things, I think, go a long way. And most of the time it's the receivers who fail to buy into that culture. And then it gives everyone else an excuse. But when the receivers, the guys who only get the ball 6 times a game, the guys who might be blocking a safety 30 times just for the ball to bounce outside 1 time the whole game, when that group isn't complaining and they're bought in, I think that That spreads to the whole team kind of more than any position. So that's kind of where the culture starts for me is with the toughness and finish aspect.
I know the other thing, you know, outside of the leadership aspect of this, which we want all our players to be leaders in the position, that a big part of the culture for you is the craft, the technique. And that's kind of what we want to dig into here is how do we develop that craft, especially in a time right now in the summer where those guys can get out and work. And we have, you know, varying rules around the United States. Some people can get out and do all kinds of things with them all summer long, whether that be 7-on-7 tournaments or working together in their own 7-on-7s. And then some coaches have to be hands off. So how do we make sure we set those guys when they are working on their own, that we set them in the right direction to help them develop the craft.
So I mean, to me, the craft is like, in my opinion, again, I'm biased, but I think that wide receivers, it can be argued, is the most technical position in football, just because of how many, like how much everything changes. Like you might draw up a route on paper, you know, with straight lines, but your route and your plan is going to change based on the situation, based on the leverage of the defender over you, based on the overall coverage triangle that you're seeing. So you have to have all these tools in your toolbox as far as the different techniques, the different releases, the different pressure steps, the different breakpoints that you got to be able to deploy at a moment's notice as the look changes in front of you, as the defender's technique changes in front of you. You have to be able to adapt and respond to that to continue to put pressure on them. So, like, this is one of my favorite times of the year because I think now this is the time where great receivers are really made, where you can, when you don't have to go out there and you're not tired from running a million routes and you don't have to compete and run concepts and work on timing, you can just focus in on the craft, which to me, like, that's defined as, you know, basically teaching your body how to move in the most efficient way possible. I just recently was training a kid, this kid, Mike Burton, who just got signed as the fullback for the New Orleans Saints. And I did all the same receiver stuff with him that I do with all the other receivers, despite the fact that he's a fullback, because what those drills do is it's teaching you how to move most efficiently. And that can help any position, but especially for receivers, like your goal in the offseason should be to break down each route you run into segments so that you can eliminate wasted movement in each portion of the route. So, like starting with the releases at the line of scrimmage, you know, Juwan Winfrey, another kid I trained who just got drafted by the Broncos, his agent flew me out to work with him for a week. Before his All-Star game this year, the NFLPA game. And we worked for a full week. All we worked on was stance and start and efficiency off the ball because I watched his film. I studied his film and saw that he was taking false steps. He was, you know, dipping his weight. He was just taking forever to get off the ball. And when you're wasting steps at the line of scrimmage, that allows the DB to inch back and to be comfortable. But when you are efficient off the ball and your first movement is forward and attacking the DB, that's going to threaten the DB right away and give you control of the route from the first second. Like when you're on his toes right away and you're threatening him right away, now he's on his heels and he's in catch-up mode. He's in chase mode. Whereas when you're false stepping at the line and you're kind of stepping underneath yourself, that gives him the extra half second that he needs to inch back and maintain a comfortable amount of space. So, you know, just efficiency, I think, is the number one thing you're looking for in the offseason. I make our guys every single day do stance and start where you're not dipping down, you're not false stepping, you're not picking your front foot up, you're attacking the DB forward and you're paying attention to those little details. So, and I think that's for everything. So from releases, you're looking to eliminate wasted steps, you know, in different press releases. And obviously those vary based on the technique, is the inside leverage or outside leverage. But then also at the top of the route, you're looking to eliminate steps at the top of the route as far as how you're getting out on a curl route versus a dig route versus a comeback versus the top of a post route. All those breakpoints are different, but the one thing that remains is you want to do it as quickly and efficiently as possible. And even this summer, I've expanded, you know, working with Mohamed Sanu a lot this summer. He taught me the way he gets out of a curl route in 3 steps. And I'd never really seen anyone do that. I've seen it in cone drills and stuff. Never anyone seen anyone run a full speed curl route and get out in 3 steps. And he basically was telling me, he's like, man, I got to the league. I was getting out in 4 steps, which most guys teach. I call it a tight break where you drop on your inside step, drop 1, 2, 3. So you drop hard on your inside step, 3 choppy steps to get out. He's like, that's what I learned in college too. But I got to the NFL, everyone was jumping my curl route, so I had to find a way to be more efficient. And he found a way to eliminate a step from that route. And now, obviously, he's, you know, 9 years in the league and about to be heading up to his third contract soon. So I think that's really the name of the game is efficiency. And what my drills focus on in the offseason is not running a full curl route, but just focusing on those 3 steps at the top and training your body and training muscle memory over and over so that you become familiar with what those 3 steps feel like, what it feels like to drop your weight down and to have violent feet and all those kind of things that you talk about is just segmenting them one at a time, so you can focus on those specific areas and eliminate wasted movement in everything you do.
And I know there's a lot of resources that Drew has put together that you can direct your players to. And, you know, my suggestion would be to maybe, you know, communicate with them, however that might be. Maybe that you have, you know, your own Twitter feed or Instagram feed that you could give these guys some of that work, link to Drew and say, hey, go work this drill today, get X amount of reps in. And those guys have the ability then to look at that. And I think it's just marrying up. Like Drew said, you're not going to go out and rep every single release there. You're not going to see all the different things that some of the guys you train have to face. But there's going to be things in there that you see over and over again that you want your guys to get good at. And the best part of this with all the stuff that you start working is you're working on a portion of the route or a portion of the release that these guys aren't necessarily out there killing their legs either in working these drills.
100%. Yeah, I think that's important too. I think like you said, you're not going to work on everything at once. It doesn't have to be a ton of running. It's a lot of short space movement, but I always try to have a few focuses. So yesterday, for example, we had like 20 kids working out and the focus was releases versus an outside leverage corner. And it was the top of a curl route and comeback route, which is the same break point, and speed cuts. So we worked on two different breakpoints and one specific release, and we spent 2 hours doing all kinds of different drills on it because you just find different ways to challenge their body. For some guys, you know, it clicks right away where they understand what I'm talking about, they can go execute it. For other guys, they got to run it a few times, or maybe, you know, the first two drills don't really resonate, but then the third one does. You just got to kind of, you know, find different ways to put their bodies in different positions, make it awkward for them, but then force them to react with the design footwork that you want. So like a simple one that I do is I'll have them do karaoke and then I'll yell break. And when I yell break, they have to execute the specific break point, you know, from that awkward where your feet are twisting and you're in an awkward body position. Then I say break, they have to suddenly get their feet, you know, back underneath them and execute the break point with a solid base. And that's just a really simple drill, but it confuses your body to the point where like you either have to have the break point down as muscle memory, or you're going to trip over yourself. And the tripping over yourself is actually a good thing because that means you're working towards that. But eventually it becomes effortless to put, you know, like a kid like Juwan Winfrey, I can put him in any situation I want. The break points are so second nature to him at this point that he can do anything and still pick it up. But that's a kid who's, you know, now playing for the Denver Broncos. Some of the lower kids, they got to build up for that. But it's all about reps. And I think as far as the training, I think the best resource I can direct you guys to is follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Sideline Hustle. If you DM me, I respond to every DM. So if you have personalized questions, you can hit me up there. But if you go to our YouTube channel, we've got this playlist called NFL Training Sessions. And it is literally like a two-hour workout with NFL athletes that I've condensed into like a 20-minute vlog where I show you the drills we're doing. And then I voice over the drills with coaching points and what I'm looking for from these guys. And it's all NFL athletes from Juwan to Mohamed Sanu, kid Carl Nagadosu, who plays for the Eagles. But I think that's the best thing for guys to look at. And you can pull those drills directly from those workouts, add them to your own repertoire, listen to the coaching points of what specifically I'm working for. And I think that's the most direct way to take some of the tools that I'm providing and add them to your own game or your own routine.
And for those guys who do have to be hands-off, I think it's a great opportunity to use his resources, his teach tapes, I think something phenomenal you've put together to really, you know, give that to your players. Here's what we're focusing on today. Here's how it fits into our schemes or concepts or whatever it might be. And then, you know, give it to them. Tell them, go out and do this X amount of times, work this today or work this over the course of the week, et cetera. Now they have the opportunity to go out. They're directed instead of just going out there and playing, not taking away from, you know, the value of that. But they have the ability to be very focused and deliberate on what they're going to practice. And the other thing I like about the materials you've put together, Drew, is that they definitely – I think resonate with the players because, you know, you put it together with music, you have the coaching points and just some great visuals that go along with it where you're highlighting the exact technique you want. And then a lot of times you'll have game film mixed in with some drill film. And I think all of that comes together in something that's very useful for a coach to give to his players.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And that's definitely the focus. The focus with all the content is definitely to resonate with the players just because I feel like they need the resources the most. I think this is proven, a lot of the content has proven to be very helpful for coaches, but, you know, coaches have more experience. They've got other ways of finding information. certain guys are, believe in what they believe in and don't really care to hear another way. Like, whatever. I love when coaches listen to this, but I just feel like the bigger need is for the receivers. There are, like you said, there are hundreds of thousands or at least tens of thousands of receivers around the country right now who don't really have a coach because either their high school coach is working another full-time job in the off season, or the rules prevent them from getting together. And they're sitting here with 6 months to prepare for a season, and they don't really have any direction as far as where to take their training. So that's the biggest thing I'm hoping this content, the problem that this content can solve is just providing resources. And a lot of guys feel like I am their receivers coach in the off season, and they come to me for daily drills, or they come to me for routines, or they send me film and ask for feedback. And I try to be as responsive as possible to all those kids.
Drew, I think the other thing you've put together that's very valuable is your catch program. And you have that over on CoachTube. It's a catching program for receivers, running backs, and tight ends. And within there is the 10,000 catch challenge, 10,000 catches over 100 days. And when this is released, we're pretty close to 100 days, depending where you're at, maybe a little bit less, maybe a little bit more, but 100 days till the season. And thinking about your receivers getting the opportunity to get 10,000 catches in that time, I think really moves the needle on their ability to catch the football and their skill in catching the football. Talk to us a little bit about what you've put into this program and I guess an overview on how it works for the athlete.
Yeah. So you can find it on CoachTube or on sidelinehustle.tv/catching program. It's available both places, just as easy to download it at both places. But so basically the whole philosophy of it stemmed from Malcolm Gladwell's book called Outliers. And he talks about the 10,000 hour rule in that book and about how, all these experts from Beethoven to Bill Gates to Kobe Bryant to the Beatles, they all put in 10,000 hours of work before they became an expert at anything. They all had 10,000 hours of practice, and that's what's required before you can really accomplish anything significant without just having like some one-off success. To really build sustained success, you have to put in 10,000 hours of work. So I thought about that for receivers, and I was like, if you want to improve your hands, go catch 10,000 footballs. That's the biggest way to take your hands to the next level. It doesn't mean you're going to have hands like DeAndre Hopkins, but it means that your hands will be significantly better than they were when you started. So that was the kind of philosophy around the whole thing. And I thought 100 catches a day really isn't a lot. It takes you 10 minutes to get 100 catches in. But the key is the consistency. The key is doing it every day, day in and day out, for 100 straight days. And really what the drill is, it's a combination of seven or eight different drills. And then there's a whole do-it-yourself section. So a lot of kids ask me, coach, if I don't have a quarterback, how can I improve my hand? So there's a whole kind of circuit with kind of some ball control drills you can do on your own, throwing tennis balls against the wall. And there's a few other ball drills that require a partner, but anyone can throw you the ball. Your mother, your sister, anyone can throw it to you. It's designed to be kind of home-friendly that way. So there's definitely some resources for guys that don't have a quarterback available or can't make it to the field every day. You can still get your work in. But it's essentially just a combination of seven different simple drills, like stationary picture catches, four catches where you're lying on your back, some catching drills where you're on the move. It's simple stuff, but the key is the details that I talk about, and all the videos are voiced over with the coaching points. But the key to improving your hands is just the amount of focus that you catch the football with. Like, it's easy to go catch 100 balls while you're talking and BSing with your friends and throwing stuff around, and you just happen to catch 100 balls. It's a completely different thing when you're focused on exaggerating your eyes and exaggerating your fingertips, and really framing the ball every single time. Like, those are 100 meaningful reps. So, the first thing I talk about is just coming in with intention every day and getting your 10 to 15 minutes of ball work in every day with complete focus. And Leonte Carew, who plays for the Miami Dolphins, is featured on there, and you can just see the amount of intensity that he's doing these drills with, and he's got unbelievable hands. Was known when he was at Rutgers, was known for having great hands, and the part of that is, again, the mindset you come in with. Like, this is business-like. And especially the older you get, like anyone who aspires to play football at the highest levels, like, people are feeding their families off their ability to catch the football. It's not a joke like it is, to a lot of younger kids who think they can just show up and roll the balls out. Like, it becomes more and more serious, and I think you need to treat the work that way. But none of the drills are super complicated. They're not like throwing a bunch of, they don't need any tools. Literally all you need is a football and tennis balls. But it's just, again, the situations you put your body in, some of the details you're focusing on. Some of them are simply just fighting the side, like drills fighting the sideline or catching the ball around the sideline. The pullback drill, which is how you win 50-50 balls, and some of those combat catches. Like, I don't think it's anything overcomplicated. I didn't want to make it too fancy or overcomplicated. I just want to talk about the fundamentals and the most basic ways to practice those fundamentals. And then it's a mixture of each day. Like, you know, some days there's more of a tennis ball focus. Other days there's more of a on the move focus. Other days there's more of a stationary focus. It's a way not to kill the receiver's legs, but still get that good work. And as long as you're consistent with the program for 100 straight days, you're guaranteed to see results. And again, not so much because of there's these revolutionary drills, more so because of the motivation to put in 100 days of consistent work. You know, you're going to find a way to get better from that.
And I think too, if you're a receivers coach, and you know you wind up the school year here, you send them out in the summer again. You know, they're going to see you, depending on what you're allowed to do, at least for their strength and conditioning workouts. But now you put this out there as a 10,000 catch challenge, and treat it the right way, give it the attention you need to as a coach, and emphasize it, and really, you know, think about how you can create some of the competition. I think this is something that helps build that culture within your unit.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, like, we get it all the time. Like we, there was a time yesterday in a training session where like the kids dropped like four balls in a row. I'm like, hey, you guys all ran great routes, fancy routes. You got open, but now we're punting because we can't catch the football. Like, the number one thing you got to do as a receiver is catch the ball. Look at a guy like DeAndre Hopkins. Like, I'm not a big fan of DeAndre Hopkins as a route runner. A lot of guys consider him the best receiver in the NFL. The reason being is he catches everything. Like, he's not always, he doesn't always, if you watch him, he doesn't always have a ton of separation. He doesn't always, you know, have a lot of fluidity in his routes, but if you throw the ball near him, he's going to come down with it. And I think that trait, you know, supersedes any other trait for a wide receiver. The first thing you're paid to do is catch the football, and then you can kind of, everything else falls down underneath that. But if you're serious about being a receiver, the number one thing you should be serious about is being able to catch the ball no matter what the circumstances are.
Well, Drew, I appreciate you taking the time again to be on the podcast. I appreciate the work you're doing on your series on USA Football, blogs.usafootball.com. You've written articles really this whole off season and shared all kinds of different aspects of coaching and playing the receiver position. So I'm very appreciative of that. We will link all of those in our show notes so you see Drew's series there. And Coach, why don't you go ahead and one more time share your information on social media as well as your website and information where they can get the 100 day catch program, the catching program.
Yeah, no doubt. So our biggest platform is Instagram. So you can find us on Instagram at Sideline Hustle. We're also on Twitter at Sideline Hustle. And then our YouTube platform is to me probably the best platform because it's our entire video library. It's got all the Instagram content on there, but then it's also got the long form content, the NFL training sessions, like I was talking about. Then I do these wide receiver film rooms where I break down one specific game of an NFL wide receiver and kind of narrate over it, provide coaching points. I've done one on Mohamed Sanu, Davante Adams, Taylor Gabriel thus far. So that YouTube, I think, is the best place to go to find everything. Sidelinehustle.tv is our site that has all the training info and some content on there as well. And then you can find the catching program on CoachTube and on at sidelinehustle.tv/catching program. You can find the videos and the 100-day program there. And like I said, you can if you hit me up anytime on Instagram or Twitter, I'll respond to the DM. So if you have specific questions, just shoot me a DM on there, and I'll be sure to get back to you.
Drew, always great to catch up with you. I appreciate you taking the time, and good luck in your venture, Sideline Hustle. You're doing a great job.
I appreciate you having me on, Keith.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Please check out all we're doing on Twitter at our Twitter handle for coaches at FBDEVCoach. Check out our systems for blocking, defeating blocks, and tackling at footballdevelopment.com. If you register there with your email address, you can get access to our shoulder tackle system, the entire system, as well as 3 free videos of your choice, either from advanced tackling or from our contact system, which is blocking and defeating blocks. This is some of the best stuff, some cutting edge stuff, I think, that you're going to find is very efficient and effective in the way you teach your players. And there's a lot of drills here that help you improve that skill year round. Check it out at footballdevelopment.com. Check out our coaches notes on usafootball.com. Go to the resources tab for development and training. Our coaches notes are given to us by coaches around the country, state champs, some of the NCAA leaders. Those guys have been doing a great job in putting that together in our tips format, which is teach, install, and problem solve. And in there, we also have further review, which we allow our clips to be downloadable, and you can download those and put them into your Huddle. No need for an extra subscription to a Huddle page. So check those out. And as always, go to blogs.usafootball.com for our show notes, our analysis, articles, and coaching. Finally, if you're enjoying the podcast, head over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rate. If you have a minute, write a review. It really helps out the podcast.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.